you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, and Michael Perry.
And we're here, hello, we're here at The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly...
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Stefan Bergotti from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks!
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Celebrating her 9th anniversary as the Ghost Host, it's Sophia Temporelli right here on LiveParanormal.com.
The Ghost Host.
That's right. It's the Ghost Host show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of LiveParanormal.com, for providing this format each and every week. And thank you to all of moderators throughout the years for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys so much over the years. And congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 9 years of broadcasting here on Live Paranormal. And you're doing a fantastic job. And everyone, your call-ins are welcome, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As well, feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to get an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Any questions for our guest today, too? Make sure they're all caps so we can distinguish the questions from the chat that's typically going on in the chat room. So we hope everyone's keeping safe out there today. We welcome A&E's Ghost Hunters series key investigator, paranormal historian, site analyst, actor, and writer, Mustafa Gattalari. Everyone visit on Twitter and Instagram at TafGatto. I know that's it's a hard one to figure out there, but it's TAFGATO. So at TafGatto, and at Ghost Hunters and AETV as well on Twitter and Instagram. If you are in the North Carolina area, join Mustafa aboard the USS North Carolina for tonight's event. It'll be from 7 p.m. to midnight, so tickets are available at flumariproductions.com. That's Flumari, so flumariproductions.com. Coming up, we have Los Angeles's number one hit radio station, 102.7 KISS FM, Los Angeles Radio, and Paranormalish host JoJo Wright will be on the program on the 5th of December. We also have Travel Channel's Ghost Loop. Key paranormal investigator Chris Starr will be on the program on the 12th of December as well, so you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. So, like the Ghost Host on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, too, like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. There's a lot of great new paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekends and a lot of great new hosts here on liveparanormal.com too this season. So check that out, as well as the memberships. They start as low as $2.99 a month here on Live Paranormal. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, DVDs, they're all available to the members here on Live Paranormal. And as well, support the vendors here. So if you're getting Grandma a Melmeter for a Christmas or anything of that type, make sure you do it through the vendors here on Live Paranormal. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits, he's here every month, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads here on liveparanormal.com. Let's bring in our host here really quickly. Let's see, Sophia, still unmuting. It's still doing it. There we go. Sophia, welcome into your own show. Congratulations on 9 years of broadcasting.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 9 years.
Yeah, you're doing a fantastic job. You have some YouTube videos that are coming up. We have Dave Schrader, Shane Pittman, Cindy Kaza from the Halzer Files. That video is going up on YouTube, as well as Dakota, Chelsea, Tanner, and Alex from Destination Fear. They're coming up too as well. That video is getting posted as well of your interview with them. But congratulations. You're going to be on the Dark Zone Networks. It's going to be regarding last month's Queen Mary Haunt Music Fest streaming event, and it'll be a wrap-up show. That's going to be next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving at 4 p.m. Pacific. So to RSVP and details, it'll be on the Dark Zone Networks Facebook. And, it's going to be great. You're going to be on the wrap-up show.
Yeah, it was a really fun event, so I can't wait to talk to everyone again and, you know, just hear what everyone else's experiences were. I love working with the Dark Zone, so I can't thank them enough for allowing me to be a part of the Queen Mary event and also having me a part of the wrap-up.
Yeah, and also, too, tonight you'll be on Animal Paranormal Live, so that'll be 9 p.m. Eastern. That's available through YouTube, so just go through the search to Animal Paranormal Live, and you'll actually be hosted tonight, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm doing some hosting today, and then I'll be a guest, so it's a full day of both sides of the coin on interviews, so yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I was on Animal Paranormal Live about a week ago with a great group of investigators, some people who've been on the show before, some who haven't. So it was great meeting some new people and getting to reconnect with people I've already known. So that was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to talk to the animal again.
All right. Tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome A&E's Ghost Hunters Series Key Investigator, Paranormal Historian, Actor and Writer Mustafa Gadalari. Everyone visit Twitter, Instagram at TalkGato, at Ghost Hunters, at A&E TV. Let's welcome him into the show.
Okay, let's see how quickly he unmutes. There we got him, Mustafa. Welcome.
Oh, hello. My unmute game is very strong, so you don't need to worry about that.
Faster than Sophia's, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on today, Mustafa.
Not a problem. I'm happy to be here, and I'm sorry last time I thought it was at 4. I'm an idiot, and I'm less of an idiot today. I put like 17 calendar reminders, so I definitely did not want to miss this. Thank you guys for having me on.
No problem.
Well, yeah, we couldn't wait to have you as a guest, and no worries. It's happened before, you know, accidents happen, and live radio happens, so it is what it is. Yeah. But thank you again for rescheduling, and it was great meeting you at the Glen Tavern Inn event in February.
How fantastic of an investigation was that? I don't think I had that many EVPs in a short burst session in my life when we were there. It was insane. I loved it.
Yeah, the Glen Tavern Inn is such a great location, and you really never know what you're going to get there. Do you want to tell the audience a little bit about what that event was like and some of the things you captured?
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. We didn't get to do too many California locations on our first two seasons on Annie's Ghost Hunters, which is a real bummer to me because there's something like beautiful and scary about California that I found every time we go out there. I mean, we actually had our screen test at the Widow's Manor, Widow's Ranch in Calabasas, California. And that's where I first met Brandon, my boy, Brandon Alvis. And he had the idea to set up this great event at the Glen Tavern Inn. So we got everybody from the show. The whole team went out there, minus Grant. And then we investigated with a bunch of other spooky nerds who are into paranormal investigating. And yeah, it was really interesting. It seemed like there was a correlation between referencing children and asking if there's any children there, and we would get like EVPs, and the sounds of the voices that we would get, and went anywhere from numbers where people would say their ages to also it kind of sounded like adults were kind of like telling kids to like, hey, like be quiet. I remember getting an EVP with something that was like, it's like, okay, be quiet now. And it wasn't, like, I went and I tried to find, like, okay, is this anybody else from the other rooms? There was nobody else investigating. There was no one else in the room who said that. So we got a lot of really, really great things. And you would hear, like, disembodied voices. You would hear, like, shuffling in other rooms. You'd go there. There's nobody in there, you know. And you have to put all that debunking work in. It was like, okay, was it an AC kicking off? Was it this? Was it that? But it was seriously, seriously spooky. And I spent, like, two nights there. So yeah, there was, it's weird. It's like you go in the Glen Tavern Inn, everything seems cool at first, but then I don't know. There's just something eerie about the place, and Brandon knows most about it. I mean, he lived there for a while, so it was really cool for him to share that with us. And I enjoyed it. I had a great time.
Yeah, it's a really interesting location. I had one of like my craziest paranormal experiences there, not at the event, but prior to that. And so it's just incredible because it's just like a little inn, and like it feels very out of place in the town it's in. So you like pull up, and it's just like a random building, it feels like, but with so much history, and it's been there, I'm sure, longer than many of the places that are in Santa Paula, California now. So it's incredible.
Yeah.
But I know you said you met Brandon through Ghost Hunters at the screen test, but how did you initially become a part of the Ghost Hunters team? And what was it like for you finding out that you actually made it on the show?
Yeah, it's a really crazy long story. I got into paranormal investigating when I was about 18 years old. Officially, I started researching this house that I grew up in that was haunted. And then, you know, with the sole purpose of disproving there being anything supernatural there, because my parents were blaming all their freaking problems on, you know, a djinn. They thought there was some like supernatural entity in the house. And it's like, my dad's like, oh, we didn't have any money because this djinn cursed us. It's like, no, you don't have any money because you have an 8th grade education from Albania and you're a contractor and you're investing in the stock market. And like, you know, it's like, oh, my marriage sucks because this djinn cursed it. It's like, no, your marriage sucks because you got an arranged marriage to mom when she was 17 years old. And like, you guys didn't know what the hell you were doing. Like, that's why, you know, you had these problems. So for me, it's something that I kind of kept like a secret from a lot of my friends and family members, except for the ones that, you know, would confide in me like, hey, I'm having these things happen in my house, and like in all these strange occurrences, whether it's really, really bad nightmares, or they feel like they're being touched or grabbed or anything like that. So my point of view was that it was always psychosomatic, that there's certain mm-hmm. things you're not going after in your own life, and they kind of manifest themselves in horrible ways. You know, human beings, I think we're just a really weird animal in the sense that, like, animals are so specific. Like, there's no toucan that wakes up one day and says, oh, I want to be a deer. Or, like, you know, there's no alligator that, like, wakes up and says, man, I'm feeling bad for myself. I wish it was a lion. I wish I didn't have to swim in the swamp. Mm-hmm. You know, they just do what they do, and they're great at it. Whereas human beings, we kind of have this really weird dilemma of, like, well, what do we do? What's our purpose? Like, you know, what's it all mean and all that? And I think a lot of that has to do with people being haunted by what they don't go after in life. You know, whether it's haunted mm-hmm. by not being great in a relationship or being great in a job or whatever that is. And I know this is like a long winding answer, but I promise you it has a point. So for me, I kind of just help people, especially in the Albanian Muslim community, to kind of go after the things that they want to in their lives. And for the most part, a lot of the hauntings just stopped, you know? Mm-hmm. And my theory was that, well, if the hauntings are legitimate, and you're haunting and there's an entity that's haunting the place that's a person, you know, if they're there for a tragic reason, they're holding on to a location or a specific area because they are personally haunted by something they didn't do in their lives, you know, a regret that they mm-hmm. had, or, you know, an unfulfilled life, a wasted life. You know, I'm not going to mince words. You know, there's some people who, and I've witnessed it myself, like working in, you know, it was, I don't want to call it like an old folks home. And I've watched people die, like countless people die. And, you know, everybody says like, oh, things happen for a reason. You know, for those people dying, a lot of them, it wasn't a reason. And that mm-hmm. scared the hell out of me. You know, that really scared the hell out of me. So I thought like, okay, well, there are these entities that are haunted by what they did. Then they would effectively feel some kind of peace by seeing whoever's living there not making the same mistake. So that's kind of what I did. And I went in as a total skeptic, and then I ended up coming up with evidence, whether it be EVPs or just strange things happening to the equipment that I was using. I had other team members, and they would be like, this shouldn't act like this. This is weird, da-da-da. And I figured, well, in any event, I'm going to help somebody, and I'm also going to help the entity and the client, so to speak. So a close friend of mine that I've known since middle school sends me an email, and he says, hey, there's this paranormal investigative show. They're looking for investigators. And I've had, like, stuff sent my way, and I always wanted to keep my acting separate from the paranormal work that I did because, you know, these are people's lives at stake. You know, acting mm-hmm. is amazing, and I love to act, and it's great. It's very fulfilling, but there's a lot of kind of like charlatans in the paranormal field, and I didn't want to conflate the two. So I said, okay, I'll do it, and I finally relented, and I was like, all right, I'll send out, you know, an email, and I gave my whole theory on it, never expecting to hear a response back. And I told them the story of, you know, the house I grew up in and why I got into the paranormal. And mm-hmm. they asked to see an audition tape where I talk about it. Okay. So I sent in a tape, and then I got a phone call from them, and it's Pilgrim Studios, Pilgrim Media. It's owned by Craig Kalijian, who started Ghost Hunters. And they wanted to see me on Skype. Okay. So I saw them on Skype, and then they asked me if I could take a week off of work and do, you know, a whole screen testing and psychological evaluation and all these other, like, things that they had lined up for me in Burbank. So mm-hmm. I said, all right, let's do it. So then I went out there, and they really impressed me. You know, I kind of went in with that mentality of, like, I don't want to be on TV for this. You know, this is kind of something that's a little sacred to me, if that makes any sense. Like, you want me to go on TV and play terrorist number 9 for $3,000 a day? Like, yeah, sure, I'll go do that. Like, that's fine. Yeah. Like, you know, I've done that multiple times. But, you know, when it comes to the paranormal, I was very, very wary. And I was very pleasantly surprised to see that they were extremely adamant about scientific principle And that's what they were talking about skepticism and about really bringing people who want to investigate the paranormal and further the field forward. So they offered it to me. I was very reluctant to take it for a while until, you know, I talked with some close friends and family members of mine who convinced me, like, hey, like, you'd be an idiot. This is something that you've dedicated years of your life to. Like, you should go and do it. You'll never know what'll happen. Like, you could always quit, like, if you don't want to do it. And I was like, you know, you're right. So I went and I did it, and I went on the show, and you know, I'm very, very fortunate for the team that we have, and our main principles are all the same. You know, everyone on the team's very, very dedicated to, you know, ruling stuff out and not really kind of buying into false positives too much. So it's really, really, really great, and it's been an amazing, amazing experience thus far.
Well, I met the whole team at the Glen Tavern, and it is such a great group of people. It's such a great show to watch, too. Gone to some amazing places. When I had Brandon on and Brian, we talked a little bit about your trip to, like, Alaska and the different locations you've been to. What was your favorite location that you've filmed so far, and where would you like to go in the future?
Oh, geez. Okay, so in the future, if we're talking, I'll answer that part first because that's an easy one. Like, for the future, if it's like a dream spot, if I could do the White House, that would be, like, absolutely amazing to investigate the White House. Who knows what you'll find in there? I mean, the more I travel around the country, the more I just, like, have an appreciation for this is going to sound super patriotic, but the more appreciation I have for just America as a country. I've traveled overseas a lot and stuff, but, like, I've found beauty in places that, like, you know, I tell my friends from back home, I'll be like, you got to go to Pocatello, Idaho. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing. I'm like, you got to go to Cape Girardeau, Missouri. They're like, what the hell? I'm like, you got to go to Galena, Illinois. And they're like, huh? But I would say on the show, it's hard to pick one, but I would say my favorite, it has to be Haines, Alaska, just for the extreme variety of evidence that we captured at the same time. I mean, in the span of 43 seconds, we get Daryl captures an amazing full body apparition on his body cam, not once, but twice. And it's at the same time, him and I both have personal experiences, which, you know, any jack off can act like an idiot on camera and be like, oh my God, this happened. And maybe something was happening, but if you don't document it, you know, people are just going to think you're a fraud. So we have the full body apparition, personal experiences. I smelled mothballs out of nowhere. We get two EVPs, one that predicted what Daryl was going to say, or maybe it influenced him. And Daryl says, I feel a tension in my lower back. And right before he says it, you hear a voice go, I feel a tension in my lower back. And it's the same voice that while Daryl, I don't know if you remember the episode, while he's getting charged and he got startled, which happened twice, not once. They only showed one of it on the show, but it happened twice. You hear that same voice go, something, it sounds like it's me, like someone walking past him. So that's going on, and we capture those two EVPs, and we have the data loggers registering pressure changes, and we have the electron multiplying camera at the end of the highway, hallway, capturing a mist that people saw. And it's this weird light event, and it's like this mist that just goes through the hallway in the same area we were having our experiences, and then it's gone, and it all happens in a span of, you know, 43 seconds. So I thought that was really, really, really cool. You know, Fort Stanton in New Mexico, great. Worley Hospital in Pampa, Texas, also great. Perry Mansfield Camp. I mean, take your pick of the places in our second season. I mean, those places were, all of those locations were amazing.
So with Alaska, I know you said it was your favorite place that you've investigated on the show. Do you feel that kind of the low flow of people that comes in and out of that part of Alaska contributes to kind of the amount of activity you got while you were there, since you were kind of a new, fresh face and someone that the ghost hasn't seen before and probably may not get as many new faces around?
Yeah, I have to really applaud Pilgrim for kind of walking off the beaten path when it comes to paranormal investigations for season two, because they told us that, like, we're going to do all isolated locations. And, you know, I would love to do that. Like, I'm like, okay, this is great. I get chances to go to places. And I wasn't ecstatic about going to Alaska in the wintertime, I'll tell you that much. I mean, anybody on the crew, I was like, fuck, I was like, screw the Northern Lights. Like, I don't care. Like, I'd rather see a neon sign. Like, this isn't impressive to me. Like, I was getting all, like, you know, really, really stick in the mud about it. But it could have easily, we thought, man, this might backfire, you know, because a lot of times places, people will go to places that are either easy to shoot in. You know, it's not easy to for a production crew to shoot in a place like, even in a place like Waverly, it's very difficult. Like, it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
It's really big. There's a lot of logistics to go around. And Haines, Alaska, like, getting there, you know, three planes and a boat, like, for me to get there from Jersey. So it was kind of nuts. But I do think I do think that had something to do with it. I think the isolated nature had something to do with the wealth of evidence that we gathered. And there's a lot of stuff we didn't even put in the show just because we didn't have time. But, yeah, there's entire segments of, you know, Perry Mansfield Camp in Colorado. Kristen and Rochelle, they're doing, a sleepover in one of the cabins. And, you know, they got clear EVP. They start talking about this cowboy figure who was there, and it's a clear EVP. There's noises that are heard that are people walking, and they're in bed. So it's really, really interesting. I'm definitely a believer in if a place has been empty and uninhabited for a while, that theoretically, at least for what we documented in season two, could contribute to hauntings.
Yeah, it's just incredible how many places, you know, there are so many locations that people have been to, like, repetitively, and people think, oh, it's been overdone, but there's still so many places left to investigate that people haven't gone to, like, some remote place in Alaska, or just a place kind of in, like, Iowa that's smaller and no one's heard of. So it's amazing how many, like, haunted places are still left untapped.
Yeah, there's a ton out there. I'm getting DMs from people all the time. So you gotta check this place out. You gotta check this place out. And I'm like, I wish.
Well, speaking of haunted places, you will be at the USS North Carolina tonight for an event. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that and who you'll be at the event with?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the event tonight with Brian and Rochelle. I think Daryl was going to show up, but I think something happened and he's not going to be able to. But USS North Carolina, I mean, really interesting. You got to think about it. I mean, we did the Wendover Airfield, so that has a military background. But when you think about all the thousands of people who have served on a place and they're living in close quarters, it's a highly emotional, highly stressful atmosphere that they're in. So if the theory that energy can be captured and live on in some form after death, then this would be a place that could definitely have some type of activity in there. And we're going to check it out. I've never investigated a battleship before. I'm kind of like, it still hasn't hit me that I'm doing it. Like, it's very, very, very cool. So I'm super excited to be able to do that. I mean, it's a great day for it. You know, it's not going to get too cold tonight. And we got a bunch of people who are going to join us in this investigation. So it's a big ship. So I like to do more. I don't like having large groups. I like to kind of have, like, maybe like 3-4 people with me. Sometimes we have more, but I like to make them spread out. And I kind of just hop between the groups. Be like, hey, try this out. Let's try this out and do that. And by the end of the night, man, people are, especially people who've never done it before, who've seen a lot of these events, like, people are just hooked, absolutely hooked with paranormal investigating. Because if you're coming in with honesty and you're investigating honestly to try to connect with someone who may be there, that's when you get your best results, you know? Not just asking the ghost, like, hey, be a dancing monkey for me, like, you know, make this light go off. And then, and you see it and you get your little adrenaline rush and then it's over. It's like, no, go there and try to care.
Well, it sounds like an amazing event. Are there still tickets available?
Yeah. There's a few more available. I think we capped it. I think there's probably like 5 or 6 available if people want to join. So, yeah, there's still a few. could check on either mine or Brian or Rochelle's social media. We have links on there. I have a link in my Instagram bio, and I'm the only Mustafa Gattalari in the world. So if you Google Mustafa Ghost Hunters Instagram, you'll see it come up. But yeah, if you're in the North Carolina area and you like spooky stuff, come check it out. I'd love to meet you.
Well, it's definitely a great event. Everyone definitely make sure to check it out. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know? It's almost like we didn't leave break.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Poor Dave, always left out of things. Yeah, Sophia's going to be talking about other events that Mustafa's going to be doing. He has quite a few. But yeah, again, if right now you're in the North Carolina area, join Mustafa aboard the USS North Carolina for tonight's event, 7 p.m. to midnight. Tickets are available at flumariproductions.com. That's F-L-U-M-A-R-I. So flumariproductions.com. And, of course, for Mustafa, Twitter and Instagram at TaffGatto. And also, too, at Ghost Hunters at 8ETV. I'm trying to unmute while I'm reading those reads, too, as well. And, okay, Mustafa, Sophia, we got you back in.
Thank you again so much for coming on today.
Yep.
So I know besides the event tonight, you also have an event coming up on January 23rd with Brad Cooney and Sabrina Ross of The House in Between. And this event will be at the Old South Funeral Home. Can you tell us a little bit about the event and the location?
Oh, yeah. Well, Ray, who heads Flumeria Promotions, he asked me, he said, Brad, The House in Between, which was created by Kendall Welton, our director of photography on Ghost Hunters, who's an amazing paranormal investigator in his own right. He's been with Ghost Hunters for seasons and seasons and seasons. And he asked if I wanted to hop on and investigate with them. And I said, hell yeah, man. Anytime I get to get out and do an investigation, I'm down for it. I haven't researched the place too much yet because I've got I got this event. I was researching for this one. And then I have another one on December 19th at the old Nazareth Hospital, who reached out to me and they wanted to do something in January, but I wanted to come down and see it sooner. And they said, well, we're free the 19th. Do you want to just come check it out? And I said, sure. So then I went over there. But yeah, the Brad Cooney event's going to be dope. I talked to him. He's a really, really, really enthusiastic about investigating together. And I'm excited, man. We did Mississippi. Gonna be in Mississippi. We were in Vicksburg. We did the one house over there. It was a Civil War hospital, which used to be this amazing plantation-style home. So, yeah, it's going to be nice to get back to Mississippi. I really enjoyed my time over there. But this is Kosciusko, Mississippi. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Kosciusko, Mississippi. I don't know. But, yeah, we're going to be over there. So I'm really excited to check it out. Never did a funeral home before, but it's going to be dope.
Well, I haven't done a funeral home either, so it's definitely going to be very interesting to see what you capture there. But with all the events you're doing and the ones that you've previously done, what has been the craziest paranormal experience you've had thus far, or just like the coolest experience that you've had?
So there's something weird that I've been noticing on a lot of these events, and I don't know what to make of it. And I first noticed it when Daryl and I were investigating the Applewood Bed and Breakfast in Virginia. So we were at this location. There was about, I think, eight of us investigating this basement location there. And then all of a sudden, everyone in the room, we all start getting this like weird chilling feeling. And then I have a data logger, EDI data logger. I'm like, everybody, I'm like, watch the data logger. And then, like, literally right on cue, there's pressure changes. And then a few seconds after that, there's this blue light that just appears in the middle of the room.
Oh, wow.
It kind of swirls around a little bit, and then it disappears. Now, that happened over the course of two nights. So that blue light we first saw in Galena, Illinois. And it, again, when we were at the Galena Marine Hospital for ghost hunters, and that blue light coincided with pressure changes on our data logger. So that's something that Brandon and I actually talk about in our upcoming book a lot. It's just the correlation between paranormal activity and data log and then and pressure changes, right? Anytime there's something weird going on, you know, paranormal just means not normal. So it's paranormal. If it's not normal, it's paranormal. That's what Brandon always says. So what I've been noticing in a lot of these events is that I see this blue light at a lot of these events. And most of the time they correlate with these pressure changes. So what does that mean? I have no idea. I've asked other people, I'm like, hey, have you seen stuff like this? It's a blue light. Sometimes it's a blue light and it moves in the figure of like an infinity symbol. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, people talk about, I talked to somebody like it might be an attachment or something is following you. I don't know, but multiple people across these events and the investigations that I've been at have seen this blue light just like occur. Now, if I was a listener at home, I'd probably be like, well, this Mustafa guy probably brings like a flashlight or something and shows the blue light or something whenever he's on these events. I'm not. Like, I mean, you'll see me, my hands are like folded, my arms, and then they're in my pockets. And I know Houdini did a ton of work back in the day to disprove mystics and spiritualists and all that stuff, but I'm genuinely fascinated in trying to find out what this blue light is and then why it affects pressure in the way that it does. So if there's any paranormal investigators out there who are trying to buy equipment on a budget, I would suggest buying like a $9 barometer from Amazon just to see if like, okay, if there's like a sudden drop in barometric pressure or increase in barometric pressure, just because it's just something that's just wild. And this has happened over probably like, I think, seven different events that I've done, and then including Galena. So I've seen it about eight times now. So I don't know. It's really strange.
Wow, that's an amazing experience to have.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know what to make of it either. All I could say is, like, does it feel threatening or, like, do you think it's more maybe of a protective spirit or something, you know, kind of there to like protect you on investigations rather than like a negative attachment?
I don't know if it's negative. I don't know if it's necessarily a negative thing. I do enough self-hate for myself. I don't think I need a negative attachment to like come make me feel even worse. So I think that any negative attachment will be like, all right, man, you got problems. I'm getting out of here. So I'm not really worried about that. It doesn't feel negative or threatening. I mean, even when I got scratched in Cape Girardeau, Missouri at the Glen House, it didn't really feel threatening to me. So I've never really felt like threatened. I've been weirded out and I've kind of taking a step back and being like, oh man, like maybe I should be scared. You know, cause you hear stories about people going like nuts or whatever. I don't know how much of that is true, but you know, I don't want to like come back home a different person than when I left, you know, and you know, my kids are like, what's wrong with daddy? Like that would suck, mm-hmm. but no, I'm pretty good.
Yeah. I get what you mean about the attachment though. Like I've had people say like, have you been scratched? Like, have you been physically touched by a ghost? And I'm like, I'm pretty accident prone. I think they know like if I'm going to be hurt, it's probably by myself and they don't even really need to interfere. Like if I'm going to trip, it's going to be me. I've said that to my mom so many times. We're both accident prone. I'm like, if Ashley was pushed on an investigation, I would be like, whoa, what did I do? Like, I wouldn't even know. I'd be completely oblivious to it. I'd be like, oh, that's so weird. What did I trip on?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It's wild.
So, speaking of your kids, do they have any interest in the paranormal, or are they, do you not really talk to them about it? And with that, if they did have interest in the paranormal later on, what would you like to pass down to them the most from what you've learned?
That's actually a great question. My son's favorite movie growing up, he's five, and my daughter's two and a half, and he loved Ghostbusters. So when, you know, I told him, like, hey, daddy's going to be away for a couple of weeks at a time. I'm going to be on a TV show, and it's called Ghost Hunters. He just told all of his pre-K friends that his dad was a Ghostbuster. So I think he's really interested in it. He's like most kids, I was always really like kids love a spooky story. You know, I think everybody does.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a spooky story. And he's, you know, I just kind of tell him like, you really can't be afraid. Like if there's anyone who should be like, if there's anyone who's going to be harmed by a ghost, it'd be people like us, you know, who are paranormal investigators and haven't seen many instances of like, you know, paranormal investigators, you know, dying, you know, from like a ghost possession or something, unless it's, you know, and even people who say that they're possessed, it ends up being completely debunked and, you know, they're frauds. But I think, for him, the big thing is he's not really – I just want to pass down, if you're going to be a paranormal investigator, what you should really be more afraid of is not living your life. Not to get all down, but, like, you know, we all share the same fate. You know, we die. I think that's why babies cry when they come out the womb is, like, they're like, oh, I know this is going to end one day. This sucks. So I think that is – if you're going into the mindset of something is like, hey, I'm going to be dead one day, and I don't want to have any regrets. So, of course, I'm going to go down the corridor when I hear a weird sound. Of course, if I get scratched, I'm going to push for more questions. Of course, if I capture some amazing evidence, I'm going to push further because I don't want to be on my deathbed wondering, like, oh, man, like, you know, I could have gone further with that, you know? I don't ever want to have that feeling.
Yeah.
And I hope to pass that on to my kids. Like, if that's one thing, whatever it is they want to do, they want to be paranormal investigators, awesome. Back them 1,000%, and go towards scientific principle, do things that push the field forward. Don't go and just try to like get jump scares on TV, because then that becomes an addiction. And then people who may have started off as like, you know, very, very, very upfront and very, you know, ethical, they start to kind of become the TV ratings monster. And then it turns into, you know, something that's very tainted. And they become shadows of what they once were. But, yeah, with my whatever they want to do. They want to be dancers. I don't care. Go be a dancer. Just be the best dancer you can be, and only you know how good you can be. So that's it. Whatever it is that they want to do, I really don't care. I just want them to be happy with what they're doing, and that happiness comes through grueling, grueling, grueling hard work, you know?
Absolutely. And that's a great way to, you know, kind of teach your kids and learn that. That's what my parents always did. I'm like, hey, I love doing paranormal investigations. At 12, I'm like, hey, I want to do a radio show. And I never stuck with anything because, I tried sports. I'm accident prone. I'm also kind of lazy, so that didn't really work.
Well, laziness is treatable. Accident prone, maybe not.
So that stuff didn't really work. And so they're like, okay, you want a radio show? And they didn't really think I would, but here I am 9 years later, and they're like, well, yeah, I guess she was going to stick with it, but they've been really supportive the whole time. And so it's
That's
great
awesome.
To just have that support.
Yeah, I met your parents at the event, too. They were great.
Yeah, my dad was the guy in the Sriracha shirt, if you remember him. I think he stuck out pretty good with that shirt.
I have the same shirt. It's not with me on this trip, but it's in the hamper. I mean, it's in my dresser, not the hamper. It's clean, I promise.
Yeah, I think my dad saw a picture of you with it online or something. I remember, and he got really excited because someone else had it. The man's obsessed with Sriracha. So he was like, look,
Sriracha,
bro,
yeah.
Like,
it's so good.
I know that you are working on a project with Brandon. Can you tell the audience a little bit about what you're working on and where people can find it when it's released?
Sure. So we actually partnered with Llewellyn Worldwide, which is one of the oldest publishers in America, and they have a really great history of publishing paranormal books. They know the space. They know the genre very well. They know what readers are into. And that's why we were super stoked. I mean, we pitched to a bunch of different publishers. And for me, you know, as a writer, like, you're used to getting rejection letters. This is like the first time in my life, like, you know, I got like a major publisher was like, I guess having a TV show obviously helps. I'm not going to downplay that. But it was, you know, we cold pitched them. We didn't have any special connections or anything. Brandon sent out 4 cold pitches. And within like, I think it was 5 days, we had 4, yes, we want to make your book. So it was like a great problem to have, which is like, who's going to be the best publisher for this? And Llewellyn, I think, was the best for what we're going after. So the book touches on a lot of the cases that we've done in Ghost Hunters. It also touches on a case that Brandon did at a really amazing location in California. And he has some, incredible evidence. When he showed it to me, I was floored that he's never released. He's never showed anyone before, at least not publicly. So that's going to make it into the book. And we expand on the cases. We talk about a lot of stuff that didn't make the show. And then also theory, correlations that we've noticed in between between our different cases, especially with pressure, especially with light anomalies and light events and the more thorough debunking work that we did. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of talk of tech, what tech to kind of stay away from, certain pieces of tech that have been proven to be a little finicky and give out false positives over the years. It depends. Really trying to adapt technology from other scientific fields. Not to say that you can't use something like a REM pod or anything like that, but you got to really vet the location and know what could be setting that thing off. So we talk a lot about that. And then, then I think we also have, I can't talk too much about it, but we've got something that we hope will release alongside the book that I think fans of the show and the paranormal in general will like very, 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 very much. And a lot of blood, sweat, and tears are going into it. I was actually just working on them a little bit earlier today. So I'm excited to share that with you guys. Probably towards the end of the first quarter in 2021 or the beginning of the second quarter. So I'm thinking around March, April, we can get the book out. So we'll see.
Well, I can't wait to see the book and learn all about what the other project is. If you guys ever need to promote, just know that the show is always welcome to you guys.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah,
thank
for
you.
Sure. And with all of the research that you've done and what you've learned so far, what do you believe the afterlife is? Where do you think we go after we die?
Oh, geez. So it's so hard to talk about this because, one, you're going to offend a lot of people who were raised to believe a certain cultural or religious thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's also people have their very staunch opinions that it doesn't exist or anything like that. And I'm kind of the mind of like, okay, well, we know that there's something and that there is something lingering. What that means, I don't know. These light events, these light anomalies, does it mean that when we pass, is our energy, because matter is neither created nor destroyed, right? That's the basic law, scientific principle. I mean, even an atom bomb, you know, it's a splitting of an atom, and it causes this huge explosion. And to do that, even that atom isn't destroyed. So when we die, we're still present. It's just in a different way. So does that mean that whatever our spirit, if you want to call it that, persists? Is it in the form of light? Do we turn mm-hmm. into some type of light anomaly? Is our energy then converted into some light source that lingers around the world? Maybe. Or are we not really investigating the dead when we go on these investigations? Are we communicating with someone at a different point in time? And are we peering into a time warp or time hole, if you will? Because the EMCCD camera, the electron multiplying camera that Brandon uses, is something that's utilized in studying black holes. And black holes thrive under pressurized conditions. They suck everything in. And in many instances, what comes out the other end of the black hole is something new. So I think it's a very appropriate and kind of cosmically romantic way of describing the cycle of life. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. I have no idea. But what I do know is that light and pressure has something to do with it. And I want to explore that further. I want to explore that phenomenon further. I mean, Brandon and I even kind of joke about it, but I'm being serious. It's like, if I were to go, like if I were to die, like you put me in a room and just as I'm dying, like light up the place with equipment, put an EMCCD camera on me. I know it sounds very morbid and macabre, but like, mm-hmm. put data loggers around me, put whatever equipment that we have to see if a soul, quote unquote, leaves the body or whatever it is. Like what happens at that moment of death? How fascinating would that be if you see a light anomaly like we caught in Clifton, leaving a person's body like that on the EMCCD camera? That would be amazing, you know? And I think it also, as kind of, again, macabre as it sounds and morbid, I think it brings a lot of comfort to people who found somebody that they love so much in their life, or, you know, whether it's their child or a spouse mm-hmm. or a family member. And, you know, so many people, you know, go about this life and they hang around people they don't really care about that much, not really, you know, and they make that choice and they make settlements. But, you know, with somebody who's distraught over the death or loss of somebody, to know that, hey, you know, death's not the end. There might be something else. What that is, I've got no freaking clue, but I want to find out.
Absolutely. And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any websites, upcoming productions, interviews, or events that you would like to mention?
Just the December 19th. It's going to be in Mineral Wells, Texas. I'm going to be at the Old Nazareth Hospital. It's capped at 40 people who can attend that event. I just want to keep it a little more intimate. We have some members of the Midnight Paranormal Society, which is a local paranormal group, who are going to come and help out with the event. Big shout out to Kyle Wesley the Yates and Shauna at the Old Nazareth for setting this up. So I'm going to be there. And then in January, I might return to Old Nazareth towards the end of January. I have the event with Brad Cooney. And I've got some more events coming up. And you can just – I'll be posting about it on my social media. And you can check out Flumeri. And then we got Texas Paracon in the summer with Natalie Jones. And I'm going to be at another event with Natalie Jones, too, in January. I'm getting them all jumbled up. You're going to have to see them as I post them online. I'm sorry. I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, but you're very great. Busy, so that's completely understandable.
Thank you. Thanks for giving me an out.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and taking the time out of your day, the day of an event, to come on my show. I really appreciate it. It's been great having you on, and the show is always open to you to promote.
Oh, you're the best. I really appreciate it. You're awesome. Hey, any other paranormal weirdos out there, I'm more than happy to converse with you guys.
Well, thank you so much, Mustafa, and I hope you have a great event tonight, and I can't wait to hear all about what you guys captured.
Awesome. Will do. I'll let you know.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mustafa, and fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Mustafa is such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. This show definitely would not be possible without all of you. Make sure to check me out tonight on Animal Paranormal Live. I will actually be the guest tonight. And thank you all for listening. I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
And also, too, I mean, he does. He has a lot of events, of course, including tonight. So if you're in the North Carolina area, join Mustafa aboard the USS North Carolina for tonight's event, 7 p.m. to midnight. Tickets available at FlumariProductions.com. That's FlumariProductions.com. And also, too, make sure Twitter and Instagram, he will be posting them there, too, as well. So Taff Gatto. That's at Taff Gatto on Twitter and Instagram, of course, and at Ghost Hunters at AETV. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, Los Angeles's number one 102.7 Kiss FM Los Angeles radio, and Paranormalish host JoJo Wright will be on the program on December 5th. Sophia and he will be discussing the Queen Mary event that they both took part of and all the live captures and everything that they had as well. Also, too, Travel Channel's Ghost Loop key paranormal investigator Chris Starr will be on the program on the 12th of December. We have other people securing their guest spot dates as we speak, so you don't want to miss any upcoming shows. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie and Sion Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.